Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today, we are going to begin a three-part series on your thought life. When I had done a lesson on this before, on this thought life, I tried to get everything into one radio broadcast, and it was entirely too much for you to be able to handle in just one radio broadcast. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to begin this three-part series on your thought life so that we can be very thorough in the examination of what these thoughts are and what you need to do with them in your life, and then what you need to do in your life to get a correction in your thought life. So our text is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. The Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Your thought life is something that must be controlled. Men and women have trouble controlling their thoughts in this world of pictures and movies and lusts and memories and imaginations. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, which we just read, is one of the best passages in the Bible to help you with your thought life and the actions that follow your thoughts. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, "Back of every tragedy in human character, there is a process of wicked thinking." In other words, if you can get that wicked thinking under control, you can avoid the tragedies of human character. Now, with all of the images and the imaginations that come from those images that are presented to you each day, there is an indelible mark on your mind that causes your thought life to run to places you often don't want to go. And God knows about the effect of those images. That's why he warned the Jews when they went into the land of Canaan to destroy, among other things, the pictures. That's right. If you read Numbers chapter 33, verse 52, you see that God told them to destroy the pictures, because the pictures are images that get planted into your mind. Dr. Ruckman used to say, the use of the imagination involves images. So what we're going to do in this three-part series is we're going to find out, first of all, you know, where these imaginations and thoughts are and what they do in your mind and what they lead to. That's what we're going to discuss today. What these images are, where they are, what they do in your mind, and then what they lead to. All right, in the next broadcast, then, we will go back through the same text we're looking at today, and we're going to see what must happen to those thoughts and imaginations. And then in the third broadcast, we will look at some of the Lord's weapons that are mentioned here in our text that you can use against your thought life when it's out of control to bring it back into a thought life that is under control and no longer, you know, just constantly beating you to death with bad thoughts. Now, the first thing we want to notice then in our text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is this. Verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," meaning they're not of the flesh. So the first thing we notice then, this problem with your thought life is in your flesh. It's something that is ingrained in you. It's something that came with everything else you got, hands and feet and hair and eyes and nose and ears, all of that you got from the womb. You got this problem with your thinking from your birth. In Genesis chapter 6, when the Lord was preparing to destroy the earth with a flood, he said in verse 5, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord said, "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's what the Lord said. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And may I tell you something? When you read on through the flood, and you get to Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, you know what you find out? The flood did not wash away the evil imagination. The Lord said after the flood, when Noah and his family were the only ones on the earth, "The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." That's what he said in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. So, we got this evil imagination from Adam and from Eve, and we pass it right on down to our children. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And notice, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on the earth, there was some discussion about him not washing his hands and therefore defiling himself. And he said, "No, you don't defile yourself by what you introduce into your body through your mouth. That's not the problem. The problem is what is already in your heart that comes out." He says in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, Mark chapter 7, verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, and then adulteries, fornications, murders, and so forth." Notice the first thing on the list, the things that proceed out of the heart of men, what? Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. So if you're troubled by your thought life, well, you come by it naturally because this is in your flesh. And because it's in your flesh, because it's indelibly planted in there because of the work of sin in our lives, you're going to have trouble with this all the way until you die. You can improve, and that's what these lessons are going to be about. That's what these broadcasts are going to cover. You can make it better, but you're not going to make it go away. Romans chapter 7, Paul wrote in verse 18. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. "I know that in me," that is in my flesh, "dwelleth," how many good things? No good thing. "For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." So the first thing to notice about your thought life is that the imaginations and thoughts, those evil imaginations, those wicked imaginations, they are in your flesh. And they are in your heart, and they come out, and those are the things that trouble you. Those are the things that defile you. They're in your flesh, and in your flesh is no good thing. I think it's important for you to understand that. Okay? The second thing that we want to notice from the text that we're studying is not only that these imaginations and thoughts are in our flesh, and therefore, you know, they're going to always be with us. In other words, you may never look at something wicked on a screen, like a phone screen or a computer screen or a television, but you're going to cook up some wicked imaginations inside of there nevertheless, because those evil thoughts reside down in your heart, okay? All right, but then here's the second thing. And we see this again from our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we see this in verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The second thing we want to notice about your thought life is not only are these evil thoughts down in your flesh, but secondly, they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. That is, let's say you're a Christian and you have some knowledge of God and you've been growing a little bit in your knowledge of God. The thoughts and imaginations that are in you want to prevail over the knowledge of God that you have in your life now. They want to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. They want to gain your attention so that you're not attending to God, you're attending to the wicked imagination, you're attending to the evil thoughts. So thus, these imaginations, these thoughts, listen, are involved in the war between your flesh and the Spirit of God that is now in you if you're saved. That's very important to understand. They're in the flesh, right? Okay, so if they're in the flesh, they're not in where your Holy Spirit is. But since they're there, they're trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And that's what's creating this war that's going on between you and yourself, between your flesh and the Spirit of God that's in you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Do you see that? You have a war going on inside of you. Somebody said one time after they got saved, life has become a little more difficult. And I said, indeed, it's evidence of your salvation, because now you're not just going along with the imaginations and thoughts that you had before. Now you have the Spirit of God in you, and those thoughts and imaginations are in check, and yet they are trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and therefore you have a war going on inside of you that you didn't have before. You know, when your mind runs to fleshly thoughts, it cannot be thinking about godly thoughts at the same time. Did you ever notice that? They will try to push the godly thoughts out. I'll give you some examples. You're sitting and listening to a sermon in church, or you're listening to a sermon on a podcast, or on a live stream, or on a video, and then you get distracted by something going on in your head, a thought or an imagination that comes up. And, you know, you temporarily go into a daydream. And when you do, you don't catch anything that was preached during that detour into your imagination and into your thought. You just checked out. That's what happens. If you give in to the thoughts in the flesh, you check out on the Spirit. If you give in to the leadership of the Spirit of God, you check out on the earthly wicked imaginations. This will happen during a sermon. It'll happen during your Bible reading. It'll happen during prayer, maybe some other spiritual endeavor. Your mind just runs off to something other than the preaching or the Bible reading or the prayer. There are times when I'll kneel down to pray and I'll address the Lord, and the first thing that happens is some thought or imagination comes into my mind at the very beginning. I'm thinking, no, not again. Really? Yes, really, because there is a war. These thoughts are not neutral. They are not passive. They want your attention, and they will exalt themselves against the knowledge of God to gain your attention. That's what's happening. They compete with the Spirit and attempt to block you from thinking about God. That's what they do. That's why they're evil. That's why they're evil thoughts. That's why they are wicked imaginations. They are there to get your mind off of God, even if they're not some horrible, sinful thought. You know what I mean by that? Some, you know, pornographic picture or something like that. Just got your mind off of the Lord. Now, that thinking, isn't that mind something? That thinking, as one man said, that stinking thinking, that thought life. So it's in your flesh. You know, in other words, you don't have to introduce it to you. It's already there. And then while it's there and you get saved and the Spirit of God is in you, now you've got these thoughts trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Isn't that just peachy? Wow. All right, now back in our text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we also notice something else, the third thing that we want to notice today in this broadcast, and that's what these thoughts lead to. All right, so let's read the text again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. The we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. All right? These thoughts are in the flesh. They exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, but then they lead to disobedience. That's what they do. They lead to disobedience. See, they have to be taken captive, bringing into captivity every thought. Listen, to the obedience of Christ, because they have been causing you to disobey. That's why verse 6 says, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. That's what you were doing before. And now you are to start fulfilling obedience. That is obedience of Christ. So this thinking leads to disobedience. When you find yourself then in disobedience, you know what you need to do first? You need to check your thought life first, because that's usually where the problem is. In other words, when you've done something wrong, you've committed a sin, as you are confessing that sin, you're trying to forsake that sin, you should go back in time from the time that you committed that sin to see what it was you were thinking about the day before, maybe a few minutes before, maybe a week before, that culminated in the action that you took. I mean, you know that you cannot act on some of the things you think about in your thought life. You know what you do? In other words, some of the times it doesn't actually lead to an action. If it does lead to an action, go back and look what you were thinking about that led to the action. But also, even if it doesn't lead to an action, you go back and realize, you know what? I derived pleasure from just thinking about it. In other words, you may have enough control now by the Spirit of God and by your own fear of God that you're not going to act on some of the things you think about, but you are going to think about those things because thinking about those things in and of themselves gives you pleasure. And the thinking is a sin as well. Yes, it is. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. You don't have to act on it to be in disobedience. Just thinking about it in and of itself can be the sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. Proverbs 24, verse 9. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, Paul tells us in verse 5 that we need to mortify our members, those things that are going on in the flesh. We need to mortify. And he tells us what members to mortify in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. He says fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. And then this these two words, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Evil concupiscence. And I've thought long and hard about this, and concupiscence is that lust that's down in there. And evil concupiscence, this strong desire to fulfill your lust, you know what? You can just work your imagination and work your thoughts in such a way that you are actually feeding the evil concupiscence, that desire for lust in you, without ever taking action on the things you're thinking about, just feeding evil concupiscence. You ought to think about that. You ought to meditate on that for a while, because what you know what's happening is that you are deriving pleasure and thinking that you are getting away with it because you're not disobeying God or committing sin by action. And in fact, you are. The thought of foolishness is sin. And the trouble is, if you keep it up, eventually you are not going to be able to withstand the temptation. You've thought about it so long, and you're going to and you're going to end up doing what you thought you weren't going to do after all. You say, how's that? Well, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 is how's that. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So let's say you're thinking about fornication, but you're not going to do it because you know you're going to save yourself for marriage, right? But you keep thinking about it because of that evil concupiscence that's in you, and you're feeding that concupiscence with these evil thoughts, and you're deriving pleasure from what you're thinking about, although you're not going on through with fornication. But you know what happens in time? You end up compounding the sin, and the next thing you know, the thing you're thinking about is the thing you're doing. That's right. A Christian girl met a young man and decided to travel to the Bahamas with him. Now, they weren't planning on doing anything. What she had been thinking about is she had been thinking about finding a man. And she found a man. And she liked what she saw, and she liked what she heard. And they were like, well, yeah, I like whatever, snorkeling or whatever. And Bahamas, yeah, I like that. Well, let's just go there. So she thought that it would be all right to travel with him to go down there, right? And yet she was disobeying God. And you know what? She was led into this disobedience by her thought life, and the thing that she thought she would never do, she did. Do you get it? Do you get it? So you have to realize before we get into the next broadcast that simply thinking about something that is an evil concupiscence, an evil thought, a wicked imagination is going to, in time, lead you into, you know, functional disobedience. You're already in disobedience just thinking about it. The thought of foolishness is sin. But you're going to, I'm telling you, you think about it long enough, you're going to do it, because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that's why these thoughts are so crucial to get under control. They lead to disobedience, and you've got to get to a place where you can revenge the disobedience of your past by fulfilling the obedience that you have to Christ by allowing him to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, we haven't discussed, you know, how these imaginations and thoughts get pulled down or cast down or brought into captivity or overcome by God's mighty weapons. We haven't discussed that, not in this broadcast. We will in the next broadcast. Well, we've decided in this broadcast to concentrate on what's going on in your thought life, in your imagination, to let you know, again, that first of all, these things are already in you. In other words, you may be thinking about images that you have seen, all right? And you may be thinking about movies that you've seen, and you may be thinking about some things that you've done that you're thinking about. But I'm telling you, even if you hadn't seen those things and done those things, you have inside of you evil thoughts. You inherited this trait from your great ancestors, Adam and Eve. So the last thing in the world you want to do is feed what's already there with images, okay? You don't want to do that, or with out of control thinking that is allowing these evil thoughts and this wicked imagination to just keep running on like a squirrel in a cage or a child on a merry-go-round. All right, these thoughts and imaginations that are in you then exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So here you are trying to walk in the Spirit. You're trying to read your Bible, and yet you're thinking evil thoughts. And you're going to church, and yet you're thinking evil thoughts. And you're trying to pray, and yet you're thinking evil thoughts. And you're like, what is going on here? Those thoughts will exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. That's what they do. You need to understand that. They're not neutral. They're not passive. They're aggressive. They're contrary to the Spirit of God. They want to dominate. That's what they do. And they lead to disobedience. If you're a teenager and you're thinking evil thoughts, before you get older, you're going to experiment in action with the things you've been doing in thinking. If you're thinking about drinking, you will drink. If you're thinking about drugs, you'll do them. If you're thinking about sex, you're going there. And you got to nip this thing, as they say, in the bud, get dealing with this early. And so that's why what we're going to discuss tomorrow is so vital. It's very necessary for you to get the next broadcast, because you got to understand what it is that God's giving us that will start dealing with those thoughts, where we can get them brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So join us for the next broadcast on your thought life. I know that it's going to be a very, very helpful broadcast to getting your thought life under control by the grace of God. Join us tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.